Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. This, I want to tell you a story about my great-grandfather. Now, y'all know my family's country, real country, all right? And they finally got to the point of technological sophistication where they were able to put a flush toilet in the house. And my great-grandfather refused to use that toilet. Now, the alternative is they have a little outhouse. You know what I mean? It's a little wooden. They go outside, then there's a little hole on a... You sit on the board, and there's a hole in the board, you know, and it's cold outside and all of that. He used that the rest of his life. And you say, you ask him, now, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you want to change to something a whole lot more pleasant? And he said, well, I think that's dirty just to do it in the house like that. I would... You take that outside. See, he had this crazy viewpoint, but behind that, he would refuse to change to something better, you know. And that's funny. We all can be like that. You know, the same thing happened when they invented electricity. You know, they came out with electricity, and people were scared of it. They said... They'd explain it to him and say that, you know, the wall, you know, we'd run a wire and then it comes in, you just plug it in the wall. And I said, well, how does it work? Well, they said, well, it flows just like water flows. Electricity just flow into, and then you'll be able to run things on that. You know what people say? What happens if it leaks? We have electricity leak all over here. You get it all on you and you don't even know how to get it off. I can't have electricity in my house. See what I'm saying? That's what people said. Nowadays, we couldn't live with it. If you try and live in Chicago without electricity, you'd freeze to death. But that's the thing about fear. Fear keeps you in the dark. Fear keeps you in the dark. If you're afraid of electricity, you're going to live in the dark. The fear that you have, the fear that I have, it keeps us in the dark. That's the problem we have with fear of change. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never live in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then later on in that same chapter, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. See what he's saying there? Fear keeps you in the dark. That's the place where I've been, the place where you've been. But Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, no more darkness. We're not going to live in the dark anymore. We've been in the dark, haven't we? For a long time, I think a lot of us have lived in the dark about the way the world works. Took us a long time to kind of see how that goes. You know, at one part of my life, I would have said, this is my best friend. And then I saw how life goes. And I realized this kind of guy is not my friend. He, you know, there's some people that woof and talk a lot. And then when the heat is on, that's the first dude that goes running. Sometimes there's a silent person. He's just solid. Straight. He doesn't do a lot of talking. He doesn't do a lot of woofing. And he doesn't do a lot of bragging. But when you need somebody to have your back, that's your man. You see, you learn how that world works. And you slowly but surely came out of that darkness. But fear keeps you in the dark. We're in the dark about the way the world works till we figure out how things go. And we're in the dark about how things go. You know, every about once a quarter, I'll take a little bit of a break and I'll have a little bit of a prayer time. I'll go and I'll go for a drive somewhere, or if I have a friend that has a house somewhere, I might stay with them or something. And that's my way of being able to minister to all of you. And Jane's always saying, "Well, why don't you go over here?" Oh, I don't, you know, I never been over there. I don't know about that. Why don't you go over there? Yeah, I like to eat at Arby's. I don't know if they have Arby's over there. You could give, you know, the way my wife would tell it, now you could give me a plane ticket to Paris, France. I don't speak French and all. I could eat French fries, but that's it. I don't know what else they got. I don't know what else they got. I couldn't eat anything. I get tired of French fries and got to come home. See, we get stuck in that, don't we? We don't want to find out how the world works. We don't want to step out of our little thing because we're afraid. Fear keeps you in the dark. Let me tell you what else you're in the dark about is why you do what you do. There has been 100 times in my life, there's probably been, 4 or 5 times this week, I will do something and you could stop me and say, why did you do that? And I couldn't tell you for nothing. Why do you always do it this way? Why do you always react this way when this person, I'm not even thinking. I just react and I do something and it causes problems and it's driving my wife nuts and it's driving me nuts and it's creating problems and hassles. We're in the dark about why we are the way we are sometimes. And a lot of that is we're afraid to look at how things go. And we're afraid, if I change, who will I be? And will people still treat me the same way? Will they still feel the same way about me? So that fear keeps me in the dark. The worst thing I think about fear and what it does to us, a fear of the unknown, is we stay in the dark about who we are. You know, I spent a lot of time kind of ignoring all of this, of living in the light. You know, I hang out in the dark places of the world doing dark things and being involved in that because I was afraid to do all of this. I didn't think I could cope in this world. I couldn't handle it in this world. So I stay in my little criminal world. And the thing about that kept me glued to that is those people were always helping me by telling me who I was. Oh, you're a natural born thief. You're really good at that. Really? Thank you. No one ever told me I was good at something before. Thank you. I really believe that. I'm a natural. Well, I finally have a job skill. I didn't, you know, maybe I could get hired thieving for somebody. I don't know, but you know. You get this mentality going where you don't know quite who you are. Maybe you're afraid to take a look because if you do the pluses and minuses and add it up of what kind of a person am I, we might find out some bad news. And we're not trying to find any of that out. So somebody says, you're good at this, you're good at that. Well, we just kind of stick with that. We don't look at things too hard. We don't examine them too much. Fear keeps you in the dark, but it's time for you to come out of the dark. It's time for you to take a good, long, hard look at yourself, and I'm going to tell you why I'm urging you to do that today, because in the end, you will like what you see. You will. I like what I see in this room. I really do. I like what I see. There's potential here. We are on our way in here. It don't look pretty to some people, but we don't care. We're on our way. We're getting somewhere. You don't have to be afraid about looking at who you are. Amen. You're making progress. Fear keeps you in the dark. One of the things we're in the dark about is the way we see our relationship with God and how that works. Let me tell you what, that will cause a long-term problem in our life. There's a lot of people working their behind off trying to get God to love them. That's like campaigning when you've already been elected. You understand what I'm saying? God already chose you. While you were still an enemy to him, he sent his son to hang on a cross and die for you. That's who you are. He didn't send his son to die for good people. Nobody needs to die for good people. They don't have anything to pay for. I had a lot that Jesus had to pay for with me. I'm just going to talk about me now. Maybe y'all are too holy and nobody else wants to confess. That's okay. But the truth is, I stayed in the dark about my relationship with God. I was too afraid to just stand in his presence and look him in the eye and say, this is it. This is as good as this is going to get. This is all I have to offer. It's not going to get a whole lot better than this here. I can try, but my best efforts haven't led to much. That's a hard thing. That's a hard moment to have. We were afraid of that moment. We think, you know what, I'll fix myself up a little bit, then I'll go deal with God. I talk to brothers on the street all the time. I said, why don't you come to church with me? Oh, I've been messing up. I've been messing up. I'm not going to go to church until I stop messing up. I said, whoa, wait a second. Isn't that how you stop? It's like saying you're sick. You're not going to go to the doctor till you feel better. I don't understand your thought process. This is a place where we go in order to get healing. This is the way we figure when you do wrong, that's when you got to go and tell God about it and do some business or something, right? But we get this mentality of I have to do something to earn God's love. God is never going to love you any more than he loves you right now. Never. And he's never going to love you any less than he loves you right now. His mind is made up. God does not change, period. He doesn't change. When he makes his mind up, he says, I'm sending my son to die for you. That's who you are, period, the end. Don't be in the dark about that. Don't be in the dark. Fear will keep you in the dark. Here's another thing we're in the dark about, and this is where I'm going to drive it to the hoop. You and I, we've been in the dark about the way that we fit in the church. See, I spent a lot of years feeling like, you know what? I could hang with Jesus and I could deal with God. But when it comes to going to church, man, I don't think those people are ever going to put up with me. And then I'm never going to fit into whatever. It took me a long time of walking my walk and doing my thing and saying, you know, some of them people are just phonies down there. The straighter they look, the phonier they are. Meanwhile, whatever I'm doing may not look pretty, but it's honest. And it's not that bad. And besides, if God's okay with it and you're not, then doesn't that put you on the wrong side of this equation? And why do I feel funny about being in church based on that? You should feel funny about being in church. And why should you be giving me hard looks? I should be giving you hard looks. How, you know, it took me a long time to figure out. The reason why this service is here, the reason why I'm telling you these words is because I want you to be a part of God's family. We need you. We need what you got. You bring something to the table, nobody else brings to the table, and we want you to come and give us what you've got. God's going to do something amazing. Well, you say, well, I don't know if what I got. God knows what you've got, and God knows what to do with it. Maybe that'll take a little while to figure out. We got time. We're not in a hurry in here either. We want you here. We want you in the church. We need what you've got. Amen? Amen. Here's what the Bible says about that. You, that's you people here, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you, what? Out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's you. Amen? God bless you. We love you. Y'all welcome, Jeff Rua. Let's hear it.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only son.